Welcome to Why Does Love Hurt So Good with your host, Andre Pearson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of my podcast, Why Does Love Hurt So Good? The show where we talk about relationship situations, the things we go through, allow, and put up with just to have someone to love us. Today's episode is going to be about having that financial conversation in your relationship. And I have a special guest that can help me work through this because he knows a lot about it because it's his area. Please welcome my guest today, Bobby McGirt. How are you doing today, Bobby?
I'm doing fine. I'm happy and honored to be a guest on the show today.
Well, I appreciate you being here because I know what you do. You're a master at what you do, helping people get their credit in line, because it's very important for people to know that having a financial conversation is important, because if you don't have your finances in line, your relationship could be a little harder. All right, Mr. Bobby, can you tell everybody who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Yes, sir. I am Bobby McGirt, host of the McGirt Show Global Media. We're just celebrating our 15th season on the air. I'm a motivational speaker, a executive director and founder of an organization called Credit Repair Education Services Consumer Advocacy Group. We help people rebuild, restore, and renew their credit bureaus, as well as give them consumer information that will help them improve their scores, as well as their credit history. And we have been A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau 18 years consecutive since we've been in business.
That's good, because the thing that you do is very helpful to the community, because they don't know a lot of times the importance of getting your credit straight and the things you can have and the money that you can save on things that you actually do and want in life. Because if I say they want a piece of the pie, I don't want a piece of the pie. I want the recipe.
This
conversation today, we're going to talk a little bit about your thoughts on having that financial conversation and how it kind of works with the people that you talk to from your own personal opinion and your own personal view of what you see. Do you see a lot of individuals with bad credit, or is it couples, or how do they even talk about even getting started with you? Because I know they don't tell you the truth.
They don't. A lot of times what we actually see when we actually look at the credit reports that they bring in tells the whole raw truth. To answer your first question, it's more of an individual that turns out to be sometimes people trying to get married, but it starts always as an individual.
Okay. That helps for people to come in individual and get it right.
Exactly.
So when you talk to them, do you tell them how to kind of like where they are or get out of it and to stay out of it, not to go back in it again?
First of all, we try to find out what's their goal first. Because some is to buy a house, some is to buy a car, some is to recapture having decent credit to do things on their own.
Okay.
And believe it or not, Mr. Andre, you find a lot of grown folks that are still living with their parents, so they're trying to get back on their feet to get out and on their own.
Okay. Because I know as I talk to couples all the time myself, they always tell me how they want to get together. And that conversation they will try to avoid is a financial conversation. And I know you personally, you see a lot of their student loans and things that they actually have that cause them to have a low credit score, but they don't want to reveal this to their partner. So when you're talking to people yourself, when they break down everything to you as far as what they have to do and what they need to do, are they willing to follow the program and get it done?
Most of the time, before we get to that part, they're not really ready to accept the raw truth.
Okay.
They don't want to accept it at first. You can tell on their face they're not really getting it. But when you let them know, this is where you're at. And nine times out of 10, it's through their own doing.
Correct.
They got themselves here.
Yeah, that's correct. Because I talk to a lot of people concerning that information. And what they tend to do a lot is not understand that if you don't share your financial information with your partner, it could be detrimental down the road when you do want to do something like a house or a vacation or something bigger that costs money that needs both of your signatures on it. Because at the end of the day, one person's bad credit is going to hurt the other person as well.
So true.
For those who don't know how you do what you do, what you do, what service you should provide, walk us through what it is that you do. Let's say John Doe came in today.
Number one, we educate people on what your rights are under the Fair Credit Reporting Act of 1971. And if they Google that, that's a federal guideline that lets you know you have rights as a consumer for no collection agency to just come and just put something negative on your credit and not give you the opportunity to respond to it or verify or deny it. Okay. A lot of people don't know that. We get this stuff. They send you one collection letter and bam, it's on your credit. And sometimes they don't even get that. Okay. So we have to let you know what you are dealing with and find out where the creditor, and in many cases, the creditor as well as the collection agency, as well as the credit bureaus, all three have broken the federal guidelines for your right.
True. I know I had my own credit report pulled just recently, and I looked at it real hard, and I saw that they had so many different numbers according to how they score. You know, one person had one number, and one person had another number was maybe a few points higher or lower. And I didn't really, you know, kind of get why would it be so different when all the reports are from the same company. It's interesting for people to know these things. Now, yes. I know basically for where you are now and when you talk to people, do you feel that people today under 35 have good credit or have already messed it up and need some help?
It depends on which young person you ask.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. And now I'll tell you what I mean when I say that. If you're talking to the young person that's in college, his parents have already instilled the importance of financial responsibility and financial literacy at an early age, then he's going to be okay. He'll have good credit in the initial credit application. However, if you're talking to the person who never understood the importance of financial literacy and financial responsibility, because they go both hand in hand, then you're going to be getting a different answer.
Correct.
He or she may know a lot about the Lord and the Bible and the Word of God, but I guarantee you they won't know nothing about financial responsibility and financial literacy.
This is true. In college, they give students credit cards for just no reason, just being students.
So true.
And as you said, the parents are on top of everything and let them know, you know, what's going on with the card and monitor it. They won't really fall into that whole big picture. And as you know, right now, a lot of people in around the world who go to college, which is great that they do, but when they walk out in debt. Now, through your program, are you able to kind of educate them on a path on keeping themselves out of this kind of trouble?
Yes. And it's up to them to obey it because some will and some won't.
True.
You know, it's optional, but I let them know this is what you got to do to turn the picture around from a nightmare to a new dream.
True. Because trust me, I know there are people right now in relationships who went to file their taxes and they didn't, and the party didn't tell them that they had a student loan or some kind of debt in student loans. And when the government said, we're going to take your refund as a married couple, one person didn't understand. And when they were explained at that moment, the reason they're doing it is because you have student loan debt and you know, you haven't been paying it on time. This is why people end up getting divorced or breaking up the relationship when they know that their whole purpose is to get the other person to pay their debt. That's why, as you mentioned earlier, they don't like telling the truth to one another. They don't like spilling, letting people know that some of this problem that is in my face is a problem that I created. That's why I tell people all the time, you need to talk to someone who specializes in this that can get you on a path that makes sense, and you have to be disciplined to stick to it. Now, in your opinion, do you think the way the credit thing is set up in America benefits or harms people?
Well, I think what harms people, regardless of how everything is set up, is the failure to educate people on what is out there for that works in their favor. I'll tell you what I mean when I say that. There are a lot of people, even today, have built their financial empire on credit cards, credit. You know, mm-hmm. they bought a real estate investment off of credit. And the key is you got to know how to use it for your benefit.
True.
You know, but if you came up in a home where it was all about sports or it was all about religion, and they don't, and what they don't understand is when you get out of your synagogue or your church, the bank, the bill collectors don't hear nothing about the Lord, the creator, Peter, Paul, John, and Mary.
And you mentioned church. Now I know this is a wormhole some people don't want to go down, but in that respect of churches, as you know, in the Black community, most of the churches invite them in and pretty much give them a soft shell of the Bible and let them go, give them some money and get out the door. Do you think this is a place where we could be learning about how to invest, how to keep your credit right? Do you think the church should be teaching these kind of things because they have such a large number of people to teach it to?
Sure. I've been saying something for the last several years that people look at me strange, but this is a raw fact. Financial literacy and responsibility, in my opinion, is the new gospel. And I'm going to explain what I mean when I say that. Churches have been running around here with 501c3 statuses forever and a day. The people that jump up and start a church, they have to have a 501c3. You have to have an EIN. You got to have charters, articles of incorporation. Do you not know I have met churches who have their own church-based credit union for their members?
Interesting.
So that means the members can do more than just pile their tithes into the bank account of the church. But they can go right over there across the hall from the vestibule and borrow money to buy a car or a house because there's a member of the church credit union. I met this church. The guy has the church in South Carolina, to be exact. I thought that was mind-blowing amazing. And I'm gonna put a prediction out there, Brother Andre. If the churches don't start doing those type of innovative things to solve and help better the economy, a lot of these run-of-the-mill, same old way churches are going to be irrelevant 5 years from now.
Well, true. The thing about that is church is the place that considered African-Americans go to for their sanctum. Since the pastor has the floor and the pastor has all the charisma to talk to people about what's going on, some of the churches, I can't say all, but I know majority of churches are run what they call the mother of all churches, which is the Catholic Church. When they get these people in there, and I watch so many documentaries on church activity and things, how it works. And I find that because they're hired, as the pastors are hired to do a job, and the job in most cases is to get the money from the members. Just talk a little bit about the Bible, get the money from the members. And then I hear people in the barbershop talk about, the guys in the barbershop say how somebody should come to our community and teach us how to invest. And I'm going like, you've been investors all your life. What you don't know right now is how to get a return on your investment. So I'm thinking, and it's just my opinion, but I think the churches, since they have such a large congregation or number of people that listens to them, this would be an opportunity to educate the people, not only on the Bible, but financial for themselves, anything done with financial for themselves, because investing in the other people, and you hear this every year on the news, right around the holiday season, how African-Americans spend $1 trillion in the economy. But to someone, not for themselves. Very few would do what you said, stay diligent and do right by what they know. That's why I'm happy that we find people like yourself that can actually educate, because some people get upset of educating people who don't want to actually know. We have to continue to push through and try to reach those people with understanding of why it is what it is. But for you personally, when you see people come in with outrageous credit debt and they tell you the story or tell you a story of how they got there, do you really feel, I know it's not your job to, but because that's not what you do, but do you feel when you give them information, they're actually going to follow and get themselves out of it? Out of 10 people, how would you think people would do this?
I noticed something. I would say probably 70% out of the 100%. And I'll tell you, the only reason they do it, the ones that do comply, is because of the immediate goal. They realize through me making it really visible to them through looking at their reports, I basically lay them out in front of them. This is where you at. And it's 6 to 8 months for you to get that car that you want or that house you're trying to get or get those credit cards paid off. You got to get this fixed.
True that.
You got to learn how to be responsible with your money.
That's what I tell people in relationships, mostly women. I tell women mostly that if you get with a man and he mismanages money by telling you, I just dropped $10,000 on a watch, you need to ask question, how does he manage his money? Because if he can't manage his money right, he's not going to manage it right as a couple, because he may be still thinking on that single-minded state instead of a we, he's thinking about I. So do you come across people who, when you're in your conversation with them, their immediate goal is to, let's say, get a car. Then the credit goes to hell. They go right back where they came from once they get the car in hand. The importance of getting it clean and keeping it clean, because the world's job is to get us in debt, not get us out. Do you feel that when the people you talk to, once they get that immediate goal, they continue, or do you think they stop?
Some do. And then some are like hard-headed children. Like, for example, I had a guy who, he's a pickup truck lover, but there's no pickup truck in God's green earth is worth $71,000. Now, Ford has this new F-150 called the Rafter. The base price is $69,000. The one he wants loaded out the door is worth $72,500 with all the bells and whistles. And it's supposed to be, if you Google it, put in the Ford Rafter F-150, it's supposed to be the most fastest Ford F-150 pickup truck you can buy. However, what I suggested to him, go get you one that's 2 or 3 years old. Nobody will know the difference but you.
True.
And why pay $700 to $1,000 a month for a truck that's going to be worth half that? I know because I used to be a car dealer.
Okay.
You know, and so it took him a while to get it. But I said, you got a mortgage. You got a family to pay to deal with. Why not be able to get you the same vehicle just a couple of years, you know, that somebody that has took care of it, pristinely serviced it like a lease return where they haven't damaged it anyway. Nobody will never know. So I try to show people the little tick by me being familiar with the car industry, when it comes to the car stuff, I can give them a little helpful tidbit things that they don't tell you.
And that's helpful. That's very helpful information. This is a very interesting conversation. We're going to take a quick commercial break and pick up where we left off. For the viewers that's listening and the people that's watching the video on YouTube, this is something you need to get your pen and pad out and write this information down. We'll be right back in a few seconds.
Have your relationship problems become your new norm? Are you still hoping that your problems will work themselves out? Does it feel sometimes that you are in a relationship by yourself? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then help is here. Andre Pearson is a relationship coach with over 20 years of experience, helping people like you feel better with a new perspective on life. Imagine talking to someone who understands what you're going through. Get started with your free 15-minute consultation and schedule your one-on-one session today, because you deserve answers. You're listening to Why Does Love Hurt So Good with Andre. Now back to the show.
We are back, and I have my very special financial wizard in the house, fixing your credit, Bobby McGurk. Now, Bobby, before the commercial break, we was talking about people buying things and understand how to buy. And that's one of the things, as you know, as people, we don't know how to buy. We know that we can buy because we have the income, but we don't know how to buy. Now, when you talk to people concerning their credit, as you mentioned before the commercial break, that people buying trucks because it's new, they want the new, when they should be getting something that's maybe used that can still do the same job, and one person going to know the differences themselves. Do you think by people out there, are we more listening to what you're saying concerning how to buy, or are we just going to continue to go into the new and fall into debt?
I have a few that will listen, because what helps them listen is, you know, they look at my social media and they see the success I've become. And I say it very humbly. So I have the track record of letting them know I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just telling them something to be sounding good. I'm telling them because I want them to be able to sleep good at night.
True.
And knowing there's no repo man looking for that truck that you tried to get for $70,000.
That's true. We do have people that I remember back in the day used to hide the car someplace else, house and some other state, just to keep the car going so they can pay a little bit on it. But we shouldn't have to go through that. Now, tell me this, because I know you know this. You have come across people that are hard-headed in some instances who don't want to follow along what you're saying. And what you're saying to them is no different than any other non-African-American would tell them. Do you feel sometimes they don't listen or take what you say seriously because you are, or that you look like them?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, yes. I get that. And then, because a lot of times, here's what happens. They'll turn around and do what their workmate or their family member say, you ought to go ahead on and get that car. Well, they don't have to make the note. You got to make the note.
True. We never leave that far ahead.
Yeah, it works out, Mr. Andre. 4 months later, they call me, well, you know, Mr. McGurk, you was right. No kidding. You know? What do you think I do this because I'm doing this because I for my health? I do this to help you.
And that's one thing that I found that it's very hard sometimes in what we do, because I have the same thing myself. I can tell people something and it's almost like I told you today. 2 months from now, you come and tell me that something. I'm like, but I told you 2 months ago. Well, he said he or she said it different. But what did it say different? That was what I told you. Well, nothing. The problem was there's no way in the world that someone this close to them could be that educated and smart on this subject and know it so well like someone else that doesn't look like them.
Yeah. So they see all that stuff I done achieved. It don't mean nothing. It's just like I made it up.
Exactly.
You know, I do get this too. Because of the success I have, they feel like, well, he don't know what I go through. When they don't realize back in the day when there was no social media, I done been there, done it.
Exactly. We tend to have that a lot.
Exactly. So Andre, back in the 90s, 1997 to be exact, I bought a brand new Lincoln Town car, $47,000. I was like 26 years old. I was paying $735 a month for that brand new car with 70 miles on. So I've been there. And the only reason I believe with the grace of God, should I say, quote unquote, and good money discipline a little bit, because I didn't have no responsibilities, like, you know, no kids or nothing. I paid my lease, but I didn't do it again. After that, when I realized what goes on, how we get ripped off with these new cars, I stopped buying new cars. Because I'm a person that take, like, there are a lot of people that are listening. If you're somebody that either you don't have small kids, or you don't live with people that are junky or eating in your car, when it comes to getting new cars, get you something on the lease return. Let me share this with you all on the secret about lease returns. When I say lease returns, that means somebody like me, we love being in something really nice every 2 years. You're basically renting a car from month to month. That's all it is. Lease is a big word for rent. Okay. Well, what they do is, and a lot of folks don't know this, they penalize you if that car has a scratch on it, if it's dirty on the inside, or you done broke one of the controls. So you basically, you take a new car, which this is a translation of what you're really doing. You're going out there buying, like, remember the guy that I told you about the $70,000 truck? Let's say he go out there and lease it for $1,200 a month for Ford Motor Credit. Well, what they do, they put in the contract. If it comes back with what they call excessive wear or tear, you are penalized for it. So therefore, it makes you wear, you either going to have an old jalopy anyway to beat around on. You're not going to let the kids, if you got kids or your sloppy spouse, ride in it, because you know you got to bring that truck back just as new as it was when you got it at the end of the lease.
Tell me this, because I've heard this, and you can clear this up because you dealt with cars before. I've heard people say, as a married couple, that when a husband and wife has a car, let's say the husband passes, they think the car just goes over to them for free. Is that some truth to that? Is that how it works? You know, if the person that has the car die, the wife get to keep the car scot-free, or does she pick up the payments?
She picks up the payments. They don't care about the car dying. They want their money. The wife driving that car, she better make that note.
Okay. Because some people have the impression that's how it works. They're just going to leave it to their parents when they die, or leave it to somebody when they die.
Right. She'll have to notify the lien holder that there is an estate being set up, but at the end of the day, it's still got to be paid.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard people tell me that all the time, well, I'm getting all this done so when I pass, my family can have this for free.
It only works that way if everything is paid for.
Oh, well, yeah. If it's paid for. But they're thinking if things are not paid for, it kind of stops because they died. And I'm like, don't really work that way. This is why you have to make sure you have insurance on yourself, your spouse. These things can cover you down the road. When you're talking about finances and relationships, and you're talking about how people, especially men, who believe, by the way, that they should be at the top of the pyramid and they should not, they are at the bottom of the pyramid. And the reason why is because they are the foundation of the relationship. Because I tell people all the time, when you build a house, you never start with the roof and the kitchen. You start with the foundation. And so men, it's their job as men to learn what you're saying from someone like you to be able to spread the information into the family. Because as you've seen on many programs, America is trying to get the man out of the family, especially in the African-American community. And without him there being the foundation, they're on sand over an ocean. And they're trying to figure out why we're not surviving here. Why don't somebody come and teach us? Well, we've been taught many times, but as you mentioned earlier, we're not disciplined to stay within our parameters. We don't live inside of our means. We live outside of our means. There was an article, I don't know if you read it back in the day, from Martin Luther King in 1965 with Ebony Magazine. He stated at the time, and we were called Negroes at the time, he said that Negroes buy what they want and beg for what they need. Now, in 2022, the millennials got so many social media things to go to and look at concerning money and finance. And as they say, the Bitcoin's invested in this and you can save money this way, do money that way. And what they don't do is what we try to teach them. Research what you're doing. Understand what you're getting into. Understand the good and bad of what you're getting into. Because you're not going to invest in Bitcoin tomorrow and be a millionaire by Friday.
No.
People think that. Some people will say, well, you know, I'm investing in Bitcoin. Do you understand what Bitcoin does and what it is? You don't. Why would you invest in something you don't understand?
That's right.
But people don't get that. And I touch a lot of that on credit. I say, I know you're supposed to have the conversation, but I'm not the professional to talk to about your money. I can tell you some things about it, how it works with the relationship, but need to find someone in your area that specializes in these things that can help you get through and maintain something of your own relationship, because it's not about keeping up with the Joneses. As we said earlier, a lot of people want the new. They go get the new car. Somebody wants to push them into getting it. They're paying $1,000 a month to hear the people say, oh man, that car, you guys bad. 5 months from now, the car been repo. Then he's sitting on the porch at the thing talking about, you remember when I had that BMW back in the day, I had the BMW. Remember when I had it? You should still have it now.
That's right.
So listen, Bobby, my time is up today on my show, but I would love to have you back again down the road to talk some additional things about finance. But before we go, tell the viewers and the listeners, how can they get in contact with you? Because I know they need your services. And where on social media can they follow you and get in touch with you?
Sure. We're on Facebook under Bobby Darrell McGirt. You can't miss me. I'm getting out of a stretch limo on everywhere. I'm on Instagram, The McGirt Show, Clubhouse, The McGirt Show, YouTube, The McGirt, Twitter, Bobby Darrell McGirt, LinkedIn, Bobby Darrell McGirt, everywhere. And it's all across the board. And our number is 910-813-8525. The email is CressServices, CressServices at Outlook.com. And we are available for you to call us, email us. And we do initial free consultations. But what we do, we fix all three of your bureau.
That's good. That's a good thing to do. Again, listeners, definitely reach out to him. He can help you get your credit right because you need this for the future. If you're under 35, you have bad credit. Don't let your young self mess up your old self down the road. Give this gentleman a call and let him fix it for you today. I'm Andre Pearson. This is Why Does Love Hurt So Good podcast. I see you guys next week.